And so, but as I begin to think about the message this morning, I actually want to go back to when I first started coming to Grace, about a time that was very impactful for me, about my walk with Christ, about, you know, just being a Christian man, being a Christian husband, preparing me for fatherhood, which I didn't know at the time. I have a very similar story to Mr. Tom. And just, so I just want to share that with you this morning. So in January of 2018, I participated in a men's program here at Grace called Fight Club. And Fight Club was a 12-week program that I say was centered on connection, accountability, and discipline as you in the Christian journey. And through Fight Club, you know, it was the first time that I was able to get to know some other Christian men, some men who loved God, who loved his kingdom, but were still also going through just some struggles in their own life. And God used some of the brothers in Christ that I met at Fight Club, put them in my life at a time when I needed them the most. See, and my mother was diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer in August of 17. And she passed away in September of 2018. And God used the men that I had met through Fight Club to just lift me up and to give me encouragement during one of the toughest times of my life. And then in 2019 and 2020, I was one of the leaders of Fight Club. And it was the first time that I had been leading any type of ministry. And that brought on a different set of challenges. And I remember at times I would just felt like an imposter. And I was like, you know, who do I think I am trying to lead men to grow in their relationship with Christ? That I was just feel at times just like a fraud. I mean, these were the thoughts that the enemy would put in my head. But little by little, I began to take my eyes off myself and my own failures, and I began to look at Jesus and look at the cross and look at his love for me. And as I did that, the Holy Spirit just began to transform me. And I began to just love God and others. And actually the sins that I had struggled with a lot of my life as an adult began to just be less and less of a struggle. So this morning, it's not that I just want to focus on Fight Club, because this is not just a message for the dads in the room or the men in the room, but I believe this hopefully is a message for everybody in the room. I want to look at our Fight Club verse, and we'll get to it in a minute, but it's Nehemiah 4:14, but it was really one of the first Bible verses that I ever just took time to break down, to meditate on, to just pray over, and just ask, you know, God, just Holy Spirit, will you just reveal to me what you want me to learn in the scripture. So it's really one of the first times that I've learned how to just, like I said, meditate on scripture. So for anyone who is not familiar with the book of Nehemiah, let me just give a very brief background. So in Nehemiah's day, the Israelites were slaves in Babylon, and they are beginning to come back to Jerusalem. And as they're coming back, the walls and the temple is in ruins. It's been torn down. And little by little, as they come back, they're slowly beginning to rebuild the walls and the temple. But they are facing opposition from their neighbors who are not happy about it. And the people begin to be afraid. And Nehemiah was one of the leaders who had come back and was beginning to help not just rebuild the temple, but to rebuild the people. Because see, the temple and the walls being torn down was not just a reality on the ground. It was a metaphor of the spiritual state of the Jewish people. See, they had turned their back on God. They had begun to worship false idols. And in a response, they were ended up in Babylon as slaves. But as we know throughout scripture, that God is faithful. When his people cry out, he will respond. So that is sort of the overview. And Nehemiah was there to help. He was one of the leaders to give encouragement and rebuild. So with that, let's take a look at Nehemiah verse 4:14. And this was our Fight Club verse. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes." So as Nehemiah looked it over, as he comes back, what does he do? He takes a moment. He pauses to assess the situation and to closely examine where things stand on the ground. And I believe in our lives, we often need to take time to pause, to take a moment to assess the situation and to examine how things are on the ground. See, the enemy wants us to keep us so distracted and so busy that we never take the time to do this. But the longer that I walk with the Lord, the more I realize that I need to do this more often, not less. When I was younger, we used to have a saying, and people still use it today, and we used to say, you need to check yourself, right? You need to check yourself. And what that meant was, you're asking the person you were talking to, hey, think about the actions you're doing and think about the consequences if you continue those actions. It's basically what it means. And so we need to regularly check ourselves. We need to regularly take time to look things over, to assess the situation and just make sure, hey, what's going on here? See, when we need to check ourselves on a regular basis no matter what, but especially when we're going through times of crisis. Whether that is an illness, a severe illness to ourselves or someone we love, whether that's a severe financial hardship, or whether that's just a broken relationship. It's in those times that the enemy wants to drive a wedge between us and God and try to get us to begin to doubt our God. See, when tough times hit, have you ever said something like, no matter how hard I try, nothing ever seems to go right? Or every time I try to do the right thing, something bad seems to happen? Or how about this? God has the power to fix this situation, so why doesn't he? See, the enemy is crafty, and he uses these times of crisis to whisper lies about our God, about his goodness and his character. And in our grief, and in our pain, and in our maybe lack of patience, we need to make sure that we are not listening to the lies. We serve a good and loving God that will see us through any situation. Now, I can't explain away every difficulty and heartache that some of you may be going through this room, but I know that God is faithful and just, and he will be with us. And I remember it now today, as I begin to maybe have some anxiety or there's something going on in my world, it's causing me to just feel out of sorts. There's a Bible verse that I learned in Fight Club, and it's a time that I can take pause. And so that verse is this, from Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24, says this: search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Man, this is a verse that I continue to just go back to when, like I said, when I feel the world just begin to press down on me. And so this week, I would just challenge each of you to just this week, whether you're going through a big crisis or just going through the regular life, take time to pray this prayer. Because even though we may not be going through a big crisis and we may be going through the regular routine of life, we want to make sure the routine of life doesn't turn into a rut. Because sometimes when things are going good or there's actually not some major issue, our spiritual journey can kind of get lazy. And so we need to often just pause each day and just think, Lord, is there anything today that you want to reveal to me? And so I believe if you pray that prayer with a sincere heart, the Holy Spirit is faithful to respond and will give us, you know, just what he wants to reveal to us. So Nehemiah is teaching this first part that it is good to look things over. So let's go on to the second part of that verse. It says this: as I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. So Nehemiah pauses, he looks things over, and he says, guess what? We're all in this together. And that's what he's telling the people. He's telling them that you don't have to fight this battle alone, that you don't have to fight this battle all by yourself. So let me ask a question. Do you ever feel like you're just battling in this world alone? Do you ever feel just like you're all by yourself? We don't have to be that way. We are not designed that way. You are not meant to go through this world by yourself. In Nehemiah's day, the Israelites were asked to help build up the wall. But in our time, The body of Christ is asked to build up each other, to give encouragement. We were created for community and to care for one another. And here at Grace, as we look at the newsletter, and sometimes people go, there's so much going on in the newsletter, I just can't hardly get through it all. So why do we do that? Why is that that way? Because we want people to be connected. We want people to begin to build relationships so that when difficult times come, and they will, you don't have to go through it all by yourself. You know, the Bible says the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And if anybody's ever watched a nature show about predators, we know one thing: the predator tries to carve out one from the group. And that's also a metaphor for what the enemy tries to do. He tries to keep us isolated and away from others. That's why it's so important just to be intentional about community, about taking time. And I get it. Time is precious, right? Everything has a demand on our time and efforts, you know, whether it's family or work or just whatever the obligations are. It becomes very difficult to just to make time just to visit, just to have coffee with someone, to be in a small group, or to just do something just outside of Sunday morning where I'm actually connecting with others. But what I have found for me is I will do the things that I prioritize. If I prioritize something, if I put it on top of the list, I may have 10 things on the list. I may never get to number 5. But if I get to number 1, if I put it on the top, I usually get to that part. And being in community, being intentional about visiting with other brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe needs to be at the very top of the list, because God speaks through his people. I know that when I was going through 2018 with the loss of my mom, you know, I could call the guys. There was a group of guys that I could call, and I could cry, and I could ask for prayers, and they would call me and check on me. And I just remember how God just used those guys at that time to lift me up. And still today, we're really close. And there was one of the guys who had lost his mom several months earlier. And so through faith and tragedy, we just built a bond. And I'm here to tell you that if you're going through something today, that you don't have to go through it alone. You know, we're here to share in responsibility. Like I said, not to build up a wall, but to build each other up and let God receive the glory. And within our community, within the body of Christ, we have the shared responsibility, but we may have different roles. Some people stand up here on a stage and give a message, and some people lead in worship. Some lead a small group. Some take a meal to a family member. Some give an encouraging word to a coworker. Some lead a youth sports team in a godly way. Some pray over the names in the newsletter. And we all could be doing that, but everybody's role is different. But not one role is more important than the other. And that's what we need to remember. And I could go on and on, but about the different roles in the body of Christ, but we don't do these things to earn God's love, and that's something that we need to remember. We don't do it to earn God's love. We do it because we love God, and we want to share the love of Christ with others. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "As the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ." So Nehemiah was telling the people then, and he's telling us today, you are not alone, but you're given a responsibility. That powerful message goes for them in Nehemiah's day and for us today. So those are the first two parts of the verse. Now let's turn to the third part of the verse, and it says this: don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. See, if there's one thing we know, fear is powerful. Fear can paralyze us. Fear of the unknown, fear of failure, or fear that I'm just not good enough. And I know that was a fear that really got me for many years. And if I'm honest, at times I still struggle with it. I'd mentioned earlier about sometimes feeling like an imposter and going, man, who do I think I am standing on stage and giving a message? You know, and the enemy often whispers lies in my ears he tries to use fear and my insecurities to sabotage me. But in those times, I pause And I just remember how the Lord has been faithful to me time and time again. And when I do that, when I take time to pause and remember the Lord, the enemy's voice gets a little lower and my Heavenly Father's voice gets louder and just reminds me that I'm a beloved child of His. You know, the heart of Nehemiah's message was not just be brave. He's saying, take your eyes off the enemy and put them on God. So today, you know, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of opposition at work, challenges in parenting, conflict in the church, financial hardship, getting older? And Nehemiah reminds us that fear is not from God. Fear loses its power when we remember God's goodness. And people often have asked me in the past, you know, do I have a life verse? And I used to think, you know, I didn't have a life verse that I would say, oh, this is my life verse. But the last 3 years, I feel like I finally found my life verse. And it's something that I go to whenever the fear starts creeping, trying to creep into my life. And it's in Psalm 27:1, and it says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, I've lived long enough in fear. And I know the enemy still uses, he's relentless and he will still use that against me. But now, anytime I begin to feel fearful, I know that I just call the name of the Lord and he begins to quiet those fears because he's done it before and he'll do it again. So last but not least, the fourth part of that verse says this, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives from your homes. The truth is, fighting is hard. Now, we want things to be easy, at least I do. Sometimes I say, why do I always have to do things the hard way? I was talking to Jade, and we're like the Razorbacks. Why do the Razorbacks always have to do things the hard way? But as Jeff Jones has said many times from this stage, easy is not always good, and hard is not always bad. You know, and I don't want to downplay anything that someone may be going through in the room and just go, oh, just suck it up and there's purpose in the pain. No, I don't want that to be the message. But as we go through battles, whether it's the routine of the daily life routine or it's a severe crisis, how we do in those first three parts of the verse will determine how we fight. We can ask ourselves, am I taking the time to assess the situation and my actions? Or am I just going 90 miles an hour and just trying to do everything on the fly? Am I trying to fight all by myself with my own grit and prideful determination? Or am I inviting others into the fight and seeking counsel and prayer and encouragement from the body of Christ? Am I letting fear of the uncertainty paralyze me and determine my mindset, or am I focusing on the wonderful and merciful, loving grace of our Heavenly Father? See, the question is not just are we going to fight battles, because that's a given. It's how we fight them, both big and small. Are we going to fight the battles in the Lord, in the world's way, with bitterness and escapism and doubt? Or are we going to fight them the kingdom way, with love and with hope and with faith? And so let those words not just be on a t-shirt or written on a sign in your house, but let them be written on your heart. The battle for the Israelites weren't just about bricks and walls. It was about protecting their families, protecting their faith and their future. And our fight today, whether it be physical, whether it be financial or relational, the bottom line is they're all spiritual battles. Ephesians 6:12 says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of the dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Now I want everyone to raise their hand right now. Everybody raise their hand and repeat after me. I'm in a battle. Now, whether we know it or not, we are in a daily battle against the spiritual force that wants to keep us sabotaged, that want to sabotage our relationship with the Lord and with each other. And it's something that we have to fight. But we don't fight those battles the way the world does. with bitterness and escapism and doubt. We fight with prayer, like Nehemiah, who went to God. We fight with the word, with the Bible, with the promises of God. We fight with our community. We fight with our brothers and sisters in Christ. They fight with us. And we fight with watchfulness, that we have to watch not to be lazy or timid, but that we are stand firm in the time. So some of the things, you know, that we're fighting and fighting for, one of the things is we're fighting for our marriage with love and forgiveness and prayer. Fighting for your children by pointing them to Christ, covering them in prayer and modeling faith. And fight for your church family by encouraging each other, staying united and building each other up. And so I have just 4 points here that I kind of wrote down. It's one of those things that help us remember. How do we fight? We're praying consistently, leading spiritually, loving sacrificially, and teaching truth. But see, because when we start the battle, we know if we are battling alone, we will grow weary. If we are battling the way the world battles, we will grow weary. And even when we are battling the kingdom way and we are trusting the Lord, there are times when we grow weary. So I want to end the day with the words from our Lord Jesus Christ. He says this in Matthew 11:26. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, with all the talk today about battles and building walls and the such, Jesus reminds us that when we come to him, that he is faithful to give us rest. Jesus won the final battle on the cross in victory. And if we, for those who put their faith in him, they will join him in victory. So let us stand firm, let us stand together, and let us fight on our knees in prayer, in our homes, in our world, for those we love with boldness in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Dear Lord, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share this message today. And we know that the world is constantly keeping us distracted, want us to be busy and never just taking time to pause and see what really is good in life, Lord. And so I just pray that over every one of us. I know that's a prayer that I need to hear often and I'm sure others. And so let us take time this week to slow down and see where is our relationship with you. And Lord, you teach us that you are faithful to respond. And so also, Lord, I know that at times we feel like we're just going through this whole world all by ourselves. And that whatever battle we have, big or small, that we just have to do it on our own, that trust in you. And those things are true, Lord, that we need to trust in you. But we do that by trusting in the body of Christ, by letting others share our burdens and sharing burdens of others. Well, that's just a cup of coffee and giving an ear, Lord. We don't have to give advice. We don't have to fix the problems, Lord. Sometimes we just need someone to listen. And Lord, we know that fear can keep us from taking a step forward in the ways that you're calling us, Lord. So I just pray for those in this room today to just feel the boldness of your love, of your peace, and just take a step forward if you're calling them to do that. And Lord, just let us fight the good fight of the kingdom, Lord, to love others, to love your kingdom, and to praise the name of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.